Yeah, obviously you're excited. And, you know, I appreciate Shane for, you know, having the trust in me to call it. But, yeah, made a mistake, dropped the ball on the one-yard line. So
you thought it all on your behalf to veto the fourth, the goal line play to Doug when it came to your headset?
No, it's a play we worked. We've worked that play since he's been in there. And we've worked it, worked the mechanics of it, you know, the handoff to him. And we just got to do it better. It's just, you know, wedge blocking, and you're on the 1 yard line. You got a big guy getting the ball, and so we practiced it a lot.
The logic of that call with the game on the line to give it to an offensive lineman, that you're on board with that.
It's a 1 yard play, and we felt that a big guy like that taking a dive could do that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. You heard Doug Kramer there, and then you heard your guy Flusie.
Stop it with your guy Flusie.
Well,
stop it with your
chirp,
guy Flusie.
I mean, no action.
Yes, we could be sons of the Mid-American Conference and still have widely different interpretations of what happened yesterday. No, it's not just a 1 yard play. It's a 1 yard play that is going to go a long way toward determining his future, or could, if things unravel from here. This is a critical week for the Bears in the context of the season, in the context of the future, and in the context of Matt Eberflus's coaching security. You could have made the argument, had they won that game, he was closer to a contract extension than he was from being fired. They lost that game, so the opposite might be true.
Wow.
I'm just saying, you got to take care of business now.
Hey, listen.
No. Don't do the wow.
You have turned on
No, I'm not. I'm reflecting the reality of the NFL as you know it.
I know nothing. I'm the Schultz of radio hosts.
But you know I'm right. These things can get away from teams.
I got to tell you. I mean, listen, Flusie was very lucky to be brought back after what went down last year. And that is the reality of it. And now we've got a different feel for this team. He is an elite play caller on defense. He did a really good job with some of the blitzes he called, the timing of them. He did a really good job helping his defense to limit Jaden Daniels from getting touchdowns when in the red zone. Again,
yes,
they kicked three field goals. They kicked four, but they kicked three that were shorter than extra points.
Right.
So that speaks volumes about he was as good as a play caller in that game as Kingsbury was as an offensive.
I would agree with that. So he is a good defensive play caller.
But his head coaching job, we've said it, we've talked about it quite a bit, that if he wants to keep his job, he needs a winning record. He needs to win this year. He needs to win. And at this point, they were winning. They had three in a row. And now we're sitting here. They lost a game. And you're right. He's closer to being gone than back because he can't win on the road. They need to win next week or they're going to be 500. I mean, I'm just saying.
I want to be consistent. We both want to be consistent. I like him personally.
I know
you professionally,
do.
You need to be fair in evaluating the reality of the situation. And the reality of the situation after yesterday, professionally, I wonder if being that elite play caller defensively that you just described, and we know that he is, how much does that interfere with him doing the little things right as a head coach? Because you know what? He didn't veto Shane Waldron. He didn't have a timeout before the final Hail Mary throw that he should have called. He didn't do some other things throughout the course of the game that you could have said a head coach needs to do to make his feeling and his presence felt more on a Sunday. Matt Eberflus is not making an impact on Sundays as a head coach. As a play caller, defensively, absolutely. But he needs to be a better head coach.
I wouldn't argue that point, David, honestly. Let's get back to Don. I had to cut Don off, and he was making some really good points. Don, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. I was just going to cuss, man. But you called me right at the right time. I had left off on Shane Waldron, man. And going back to Eberflus to follow up on the point, man. Like, you can only send five receivers out on a pattern, okay? So that means if it's me, I'm dropping six DBs and I'm sending five on the pressure just to not give them so much time. Yeah. Tyreek Stevenson, first and foremost, man, you know, learn how to handle success. You're part of a top five defense, but understand you've been having a horrible game, okay? There's no reason to be unprofessional and not paying attention to a play mid-play. Now, you're a very talented DB, but at the end of the day, something like my coach used to do when you didn't follow the rebound and you had to hold your hand up in the air or you had to get a lap at practice, you need some type of shaming for that. And then allow the team to galvanize around you and be your brother's keeper. Now, moving forward, if I'm a Bears fan, I say follow the money. Okay. Now, what I mean by that is obviously we need another pass rusher. Okay. With the emergence of Dexter, obviously, if Ryan Poles has any faith in this coaching staff, he'll invest in a pass rusher. We have practically two first round picks again, and with the second round pick third, so we can go get a pass rusher to spell Sweat, even though now he's banged up. Now, if that stuff doesn't happen, then yeah, man, it's questionable how much trust and faith Poles have in this whole coaching staff, man, because they've been real shady all season, guys. But yeah, I appreciate the time, and I'll go and let you guys know.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks for holding on.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means in terms of going to get a pass rusher. Max Crosby taken off the market over the weekend by Mark Davis, the owner, out in Vegas. Myles Garrett, they won a big game with Jameis Winston as the quarterback.
How about the NFL?
It's just crazy.
Cleveland wins that game.
How did they do that?
Come on.
They had no business winning that game. It was addition by subtraction. You take Deshaun Watson out of the equation, Jameis Winston goes in, and now he's quoting Eminem. That was awesome. I loved that after the game. I'm not a big Jameis guy, but I loved that he was quoting Eminem after that one.
I gotta tell you, the league is crazy, and there were some weird results, but the Packers hit another late field goal to win another game. You know, the Lions looked dominant. As they've looked all along.
David Montgomery had more touchdown passes than Caleb Williams yesterday.
And we were talking about the Bears. That's pretty funny. The Bears trying to keep up with Minnesota. Now the Bears are the worst team in the division flat out. That's it.
Not even an argument this morning.
No.
Can't even say, nah.
No, you can't even. Nope. You can't make a case that they're better than Detroit, than Green Bay, or the Minnesota. Not this morning.
It's a ridiculous premise.
Yeah. That is just...
I'm going to quote you later. Well, Mully said...
But the way you lost that game, it's mind-boggling that you could lose that way. We've got a lot of people that want to check in, and we'll start with Mark. Mark's in Arlington Heights. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
We're exasperated.
Well, first off, I'm 68 years old. I've been a Bear fan since I've been practically wearing diapers. This feels like, to me, the worst loss I've ever seen in my life. Just the emotional up and down of all this. I got one name for this game. I'm going to always say this about the Washington game: the good, the bad, and the ugly. That just kind of like wraps everything up. By halftime, I'm ready to go underneath my dining room table and crawl up in the fetal position. Yet I ended up still sticking it out and watching it to the end. Meanwhile, my wife saying, "When can we leave and go out to get something to eat?" "No, honey, it's only 15 more minutes, and look at the ending. This is what we waited for? Oh, my gosh."
Ruined your appetite. Thanks for the phone call, Mark. Let me ask you a question, Mully, and I don't know if anyone else out there saw this or wondered this, but watching the replay for the 47th time this morning on the screen as various highlight shows are showing it, did Jervon Dexter get blocked from the blind side? Was that a potential blind side block that could have happened in Jervon Dexter? Could they have thrown a flag to negate the touchdown?
They could have thrown about four flags. If you watch that play, if you just watch the quarterback, they're holding at least three times.
But holding goes on every play. Emphasis is the blind side block.
If they weren't holding, then he doesn't get the ball released and they don't get
true.
And it's a penalty on the offense at the end of the game, and you're running off the clock, and you're running off the field, and you're celebrating. You can say holding happens all the time, but they were holding, and that impacted the play.
You have to have an officiating crew or an official that really has some self-confidence and security.
You need that stadium and throw a flag. There's no shadow of a doubt, but that's the job. That's what they're supposed to do.
So did you see that and wonder, yes, boy, the Javon Dexter block, that's a little bit – does that fit the definition of a blindside block?
Yes.
Based on the way they're enforcing it?
Yes, it
it's
does.
It's a point of emphasis, it and does. It's worth wondering.
But, I mean, there were holds all over the play. They could have thrown five flags.
So,
but then you can't sit there and say – and you know what? DJ said that. That
yes.
That they could have thrown some flags.
Mike Pereira is going to be our guest on the Big Pro Football Show later tonight on the Chicago Sports Network at 5:30. That is a good question to ask him.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question to ask him. Why do you swallow your whistle in that situation? I mean, really.
I know.
They did swallow their whistles.
Fair question.
And, I mean, then you've got this, like, weird, like, it's awful.
Let
you
the
could
players
choke to
play,
death.
I guess.
Chris is on the Odyssey app. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, I got Chris.
Two things. Shuddering.
I kind of blame
Ryan Poles also for this loss, because there was a guy on the other side that we brought in and we interviewed and we didn't hire. He already had continuity with Caleb Williams, and I think he would have been a perfect fit. And it's hard to judge Caleb with the coaching staff we have. And the other thing I wanted to ask, what's up with Caleb Williams throwing the deep ball? Every time he throws the deep ball, it just looks terrible.
It does. Yeah, it did yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes, he's been off accurately in terms of accuracy. Yes, I definitely think that's a fair question. As for Cliff Kingsbury, what do you think?
You know, I don't want to be the one that judges why they didn't hire him. I'm sure there are reasons they didn't hire him.
Yeah.
I mean, could I sit here and say they hired a guy who has the same agent as they have? Then I would be like Mr. David at the introductory news conference when you stop the room with
with a loaded question
about Trace Armstrong. That's kind of one of the things that you wonder
things
about.
Things that make you say,
yes.
Yeah, I get that.
But I don't know Cliff Kingsbury enough to tell you that he's the best interviewee that has ever lived, and that they should have just hired him on the spot. I think he's looked real good, and he, you know, the idea that that could they do that kind of stuff with Caleb Williams? I think that a lot of the principles of that are very interesting, and it's clearly works with the quarterback they have, even though the guy was in jeopardy a little bit. He was not at full health. They still managed to have, I mean, his numbers are extraordinary.
They found a way. He was, you know, a lot of quick passes, and he also played with a fearlessness that you didn't expect. He was not tentative in the least for a guy who hadn't practiced all week. I was very impressed with Jaden Daniels. Mully, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic, tweets this out this morning.
Yeah.
There was plenty to criticize on defending the Hail Mary, and as one head coach texted me, quote, "We will be showing film of that play to our team today to show what not to do."
Well, I mean, I think it is a cautionary tale, isn't it?
Yes.
And if you want to get a team's attention, everybody can have a look at it and have a laugh at it. But boy, do you not want to be that team. Boy, do you not want to be Tyreek Stevenson this morning.
Nope.
Boy, do you not want to be the unnamed player who was supposed to be on Noah Brown. And there is an unnamed player whose job was to be the deepest of the deep. That is part of that play.
Informed speculation? You want to engage in some informed speculation? That's a guess.
Not even
speculation. Watching that play again and again and again, the free safety has got to be deep as the deepest.
Yes. So it's Elijah Hicks?
No, or Kevin Byard.
Byard turns around and looks.
He does.
If you look at that.
Yes.
He's looking for someone who's supposed to
so
be there.
So you think that suggests that he has somebody behind him?
I think
it could be Elijah Hicks. But one of those two safeties typically is a guy who should be deep as the deepest.
And I think that if it were me guessing, I would say that because Jaquan Brisker is out, I'm not sure. You know, as Pat and Olin talked about on the post-game show, they do go over that play once a week. They do go over that play every week,
mm-hmm.
and they do it with the starters. The starters, they do walkthroughs with that play, and everybody who's in the starting lineup knows where they're supposed to be. There were reserves on the field, which is why whoever's idea it was to call a timeout to remind them, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that. just to focus in and remember. They had tons of timeouts. You could have called a timeout. Hey, the Hail Mary's coming. We're going to go after the quarterback, but we want you in the back to do this and that. And don't forget, you're filling in for this guy, whatever it might be. But they apparently didn't do it, and they were busy pointing in the stands.
Or just to catch your breath.
Well,
just to take a moment.
Just to take a moment and be serious about finishing the bloody game.
Because you're like, all right, there's a lot going on, guys.
Yeah. I bet teams do that now.
Yes, I bet they do that now. They're going to learn from the Bears' mistake, and they're going to be like, all right, hey, we came here. Maybe we're in the position. Just remind people. That's what good coaches do. Constant reminders. They're in your ear all the time to take the right timeouts. Yesterday was a bad example.
Texter, it's Byard. He's the free safety. Don't guess, Mully. I'm not guessing. I'm saying that when you look, Byard turns around, looks like he's looking for someone, doesn't he? That's what I thought when I saw it.
It looks like he's looking for someone, but I wonder, at the snap of the ball, it looks like he is the center fielder.
Okay.
That's the only reason I maybe suggested that, but I don't want to implicate anybody who incorrectly because we don't know. They didn't do it really. They're never going to explain it fully.
No.
And really, it's one of those situations where there's a lot of luck involved.
Yeah, there's a lot
there's
of
luck. There's a lot of fluky things.
If you had pushed the ball down what you're supposed to do, even if they catch it, they catch it on the 1 yard line.
And that's why that previous play was so important.
Exactly.
You gave him 13 yards so he could heave it 65 and it would end up near the goal line. And I just think that it comes down to this. Like you said, Mully says this. The karmic wheel crushed Tyrique Stevenson. That's why the Bears lost.
Well, I mean, look. Am I making that up?
But no, you're not.
You should not be standing there pointing at the crowd. Hey,
you shouldn't.
You with the big nose. Your nose is big. Hey, dude, the plays.
Dude, turn around. There are Bears fans pointing to Tyrique Stevenson like, hey, pay attention, son.
You got something, Dustin? You look like you're ready to jump in. Look at Dustin.
Yeah. It was just...
You had the narrowed eyes.
It was the most unbelievable last 30 seconds ever. Yeah. I said to my wife and daughters who were watching, I said, you will never see this again, ever. At least you hope not. And then my daughter said, oh, the joy of being a Bears fan, Dad.
I wondered if you were going
to... Shame on me for making you watch this.
True.
Your immediate reaction was very harsh in terms of what the repercussion should be for this loss.
That was on our little chat?
Yes, just saying. Just a little tease behind the curtain
were
there.
Were you firing people?
He was firing people.
Yeah. I was also stating that the left tackle might not be able to start at Hinsdale Central at this moment, let alone the Bears.
That was also special.
That was very funny.
That was special.
That was very funny.
And I know he's tall and he's big and he's wide and all of that, but that doesn't mean you know how to play football.
Well, I mean, you know.
He was exposed.
The guy was blocking 250-pound defensive ends in the Ivy League. It's a big jump.
It is.
But get into
who's that
the
on?
NFL.
Well, who's
it's
that
on,
on?
It's on the people who drafted him.
Yes,
hurt,
that's what I mean.
Thinking he'd be okay.
Ryan Poles did not escape responsibility or accountability from this loss either.
No. It's a good point. 312-644-6767. Right back with your calls. Mully and Hall on the Score.
So get up here and run an out route right now. Throw it.
There it is, Tony. Right on your design. McLaurin out with 2 seconds.
So that gives them a chance now because they couldn't have reached the end zone from the throw before. Now, I might bring in Mariota because his ball doesn't have quite the velocity he's had in the previous weeks because of the rib injury. So there's a chance I'd bring in a backup. But if he says he's okay, but you got to launch this.
Well, he has thrown up a deep ball twice today, both times to McLaurin and one time it worked. So here you go.
He's gotten hit throughout the rest of the game and it's hurting him.
What?
Yeah, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Come on, Tony.
Tony Romo.
Come on, Tony.
Do you think there's bad blood between him and Jim Nance?
I don't know.
Tony doesn't seem like he's too prepared.
Well, Jim Nance jumped in and corrected him correctly. You're talking about a quarterback, and Jaden Daniels had a 61-yard completion, had been fine throughout the course of the game. You're going to bring in Marcus Mariota from the cold to throw
insane.
It down the field?
That's just an insane
That
idea.
Was dumb. All right, let's get back to the play at hand.
So this is from Big Z's 10 thoughts. He writes...
ChicagoTribune.com.
He writes, so what the hell happened? Quote, I'm supposed to be the jumper to try to jump and tip the ball down. This is Kevin Byard, the safety.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was kind of piling up. It was hard to get an angle, get a running start. By the time the ball is in the air, you're trying to fight to get position, stuff like that. The ball got tipped up in the air, and their back guy ended up just making a play. Guys are supposed to box out. Every team in the league, if they were talking about a Hail Mary, every team in the league, you have guys that are supposed to build a triangle around the ball. I haven't seen it. I just know it was a scrum in there, and obviously they execute.
And there's some belief that coming out of the reporting from the locker room, the Bears locker room, that when Matt Eberflus talked about boxing out, like a basketball rebound, that everyone has got somebody to box out. And Tyreek Stevenson could have been the guy responsible for boxing out Noah Brown. Now, it's harder to box out somebody or to identify who you're supposed to box out when you're busy flipping off the guy in the fourth row.
Oh.
Okay, maybe he wasn't flipping him off, but he was taunting the fans with his back to the line of scrimmage for 4 seconds.
If that's the case.
He got he probably tried to just go up and tip it, right?
Oh, my God.
Rather than doing his assignment football, he didn't follow the assignment.
If that's the case, then that's even more egregious than I initially thought. And frankly, when DJ told us that the leadership committee was going to talk to him, that makes me feel like that was a more egregious
problem.
Well,
if that's the case and Tyreek Stevenson was tipping the ball instead of boxing out the receiver, then every player in that locker room knows, and every player in that locker room is likely waiting for some sort of repercussion because you know that you need that in a football team. You need structure. You need discipline. And you need guys doing their jobs because the way they do your jobs affects what you get paid. Bad, bad play.
Tony's in Lake Forest. Hey, Tony.
Guys, how you doing? I think, you know, as much as Tyreek Stevenson messed up, how many sets of coaching staff eyes are on that play as they're setting up? Who doesn't see him way out there and not scream, timeout, timeout, timeout? Like, and I think that starts from the top down with
the ball was already snapped.
The ball was snapped.
I mean, the problem is the ball is, you know, they come up, they snap the ball, and he's still staring into the crowd pointing at somebody.
Yeah, I don't know like, that I blame that on the coaches. Yeah, that's one of the things where you do have to say, come on, you're not expecting your player to be taunting the crowd before the most important snap of the game.
Seneca is in Chicago. Hey, Seneca.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
All right.
Listen, man, I've been telling my family and friends, my cousins, the last 3 years, Matt Eberflus needs to go. We keep on hiring these archaic coaches that they're not with the new way. We don't have a D'Amico Ryans. We don't have a guy from Miami. We don't have none of that. Eberflus, you should have called a timeout the play before that and got Stevenson together before the Hail Mary. People were not in position that play. People in the middle talking, don't know what's going on. What you going to do with timeouts? Take them on a bus with you? It doesn't make any sense. The guy needs to go. Poles needs to go. The whole staff needs to go. He hired this guy. Okay. They have the same. It's like the same thing with Bronny James and LeBron James, the nepotism. It's the same thing. You got the same agent, the same good old boys club, the same stuff with the Bears. It's the same thing.
Thanks, Seneca. I don't believe that.
I don't believe that the general manager suddenly got a lot dumber because the head coach let him down.
And you know, listen, you can argue about what they're doing on the offensive line. There are always things you can argue about. They're 4-3, okay? They were 5-2 for 30 seconds. They it's a terrible loss. It's a bad one. There are players responsible. There are coaches responsible. And you are – the Bears have never fired a coach in season, let alone a coach and a general manager. I just think – you got to tap the brakes a little.
They're not going to do that.
They're
not going to do that.
There's not a chance they do that.
Let's see how the second half of the season goes, and then you make a determination. Yes, because the Bears could – win the next two games and begin the division portion of the schedule feeling better about their season than they do this morning. And everyone else would agree two straight victories would have a way of making this loss easier to take or process.
They got 10 games left. They got a season left.
That's the good news and the bad news.
Well.
That's the good news and the bad
news. The problem is that the bad news is that they're going to play good teams.
And yeah, you're right. That is the bad news. But that's why it's imperative that, as we said coming into the show this morning, you can't let one loss become two. And you can't let one day define your season.
Yes.
And that's the challenge, frankly, in front of Matt Eberflus this morning. The first time he faces his team again the day after what happened yesterday.
He needs better than it's only 1 yard or whatever the hell
he needs better rhetoric. He needs a better approach. Whatever he's saying behind closed doors, maybe we're not privy to that.
No.
But he's got to be better in front of his team than he was in front of the media, because just it's a 1 yard play or it's a 1 yard die, whatever he said to justify
ridiculous
a play that you can't possibly accept was not good enough.
Josh is on the road. Hey, Josh.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Hey, Dustin, you made a point a little while ago, which, you know, even this morning, it still irks me. You know, the entire game, I mean, they were holding us the entire game. The amount of calls that just were not there. And we know that this stuff gets seen. We know the NFL is looking at this stuff. And like, in my heart, I'm like, hey, you know, go back and protest the game, you know, on that last play. I mean, they were holding multiple times.
Yes.
The blindside block was so obvious.
Yes.
It was so obvious. But you know what,
Josh, seriously, like, you can protest that, you can write a nasty note to the league, and then they can look at it and say, you know what, you're right, you know, sorry that happened to you. And that's it.
That's it.
They're not going to change the result.
You're not reversing the outcome.
You lost that game.
Yeah.
Regardless of who's responsible for it, if there were bad calls or whatever, that's over, man. There's nothing. This is just a nice, big, black eye that you got to wear.
You've got to factor into every outcome, as people get accustomed to. Bad calls are part of every game, and sometimes they'll go your way, sometimes they won't. You have to control what you can control. The Bears did a lousy job of doing that yesterday. They didn't control the controllables, and as a result, they lost the game.
If an official pistol whipped you, guess what? You got some bad, nasty marks, and that's it. Wow. And maybe the guy doesn't get to do the Super Bowl.
Ouch. Ouch. That escalated quickly.
Did my metaphor get
yes,
out of control?
It did.
I apologize.
Where are you going with that?
I'm having a rough morning.
That's okay. It's been a rough morning for everybody.
I didn't sleep well.
That's on you. Who did?
Michael is on the Odyssey app. Hey, Mike.
What's up, Michael?
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
All right.
Hey, was in attendance for the game last night. So proud of the Bears fans. We actually started a Let's Go Bears chant that was so loud, the Commanders fans had to boo us down. Mm-hmm. So we were definitely emotionally invested in this game. Listen, my question is, why aren't we doing more things that Caleb Williams does well? Like, we didn't call a rollout or a boot off a play-action pass until the third quarter. And Caleb thrives in moving and throwing the ball. I mean, after the preseason, off-season, training camp, OTAs, and the first six games of the season, we can see what he does well right now in his career. Why isn't our offensive philosophy more tailored towards that? This is what you do well, Caleb. Who cares if everybody knows it? That's what we're going to do because that's what you do well. And, God, why can't we stick with the running game? I mean, we're in the crowd screaming, guys, run the ball. Like, we're begging the sidelines, guys, run the ball.
They did run 34 times for 196 yards. It's a good phone call, though, Michael. It's a very good observation. The Bears don't seem to be leaning into what Caleb Williams does well and often enough.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Did you see the Belichick? And I know you
breakdown
when I break. When
I know I'm not. I'm not.
He did a really good job of breaking down what Caleb does well, and he talked about the middle of the field. They seemed aware of that, and they seemed very much trying to shut that down.
So you have to counter the counter.
Yeah.
You have to react to the reaction.
There was also a John Gruden video. Did you see that one? And I felt that Gruden is making some good points, such as Caleb's getting hit too much. And he needs to, you know, he's getting sacked. That's one thing. But when he's running, he's, you know, lowered his shoulder down by the goal line. And that one time, what are you doing running him in the middle of the field on a draw play on whatever, third and five? At the
third end? Down. Yeah, it was big third down design
That's
run.
That's
it's not
good.
Smart. It's not as dumb as handing the ball to your backup center.
That's dumber.
On the 1 yard line, but I do think it's close.
I'm with you.
It's in the team photo. And so, you know, which was the worst call of the season? Let's see.
Oh, boy.
The Colts fourth down.
It might still be the pitch out to DeAndre.
I don't think so. The 12-yard loss on fourth and goal from the one. The speed option to the short side.
That was bad.
This was worse.
The handoff to the –
Handoff to Kramer.
Well, the only difference is that they came back and took the lead after that.
Yeah.
And they never did in the other game.
That's true, I suppose.
But I don't know. They're all bad. Yeah.
He hasn't been here that long.
We're arguing degrees of awful.
Yes, and the season is 7 games old. There are 10 games left, as you pointed out earlier.
Yes.
And we already have 2 historically bad play calls by the new offensive coordinator.
Shaquille's on the Odyssey app. Hey, Shaquille.
How you guys doing this morning? My perspective is just a little bit different. My hat goes off to Eberflus, the way he has those guys on the road and Washington playing. You know, they made it a game all the way up until the end, and I'm not even mad at Caleb or Shane. I think the problem that they're having is they have not addressed the offensive line. They have 2 Pro Bowler wide receivers, a capable running back, and a top quarterback out of the last year's draft. Go ahead and put an offensive line out there. Because if they had a line and Caleb gets time to throw and can get in the rhythm, okay, your offense can get going. But they keep trying to go around fixing this offensive line. But I wouldn't fire Eberflus. I wouldn't come for Shane or Caleb or the team. Just go get the offensive line help. Thank you.
Thanks, Shaquille.
Well, both situations will be addressed or evaluated in the offseason. So I understand where you're coming from. But as we sit here this morning, we're evaluating the readiness of a team and the execution of a game plan.
We're coming off a bye week looking for improvement from different areas of the team. And the offensive line is one, although they had a lot of injuries on the offensive line.
Yeah, they're hurt, and they're going to get some guys back.
Yeah.
They need to get guys back. Amagaji was not ready for that challenge.
No.
Third rounder, though.
Third round
rookie.
Pick. That's right.
A lot of third round rookies are playing meaningful minutes around the National Football League.
Not guys that basically missed a year and are just coming off a leg injury. I mean,
why was he drafted in the third round?
Well, because it was a value pick in the third round. They felt that his grade would have been higher had he not been injured. But they took him hurt, and he wasn't able to really practice and get up and running. And you saw what that meant when a guy got on the field who has been blocking 240-pound defensive ends in the Ivy League, and now all of a sudden has got some, you know, world-class players against him. It didn't go well.
Did you think he'd be on the roster and contributing, and Velus Jones wouldn't by week 7?
Well, you know how I am with
Velus. I know. That's why I gave you a little opportunity here before we get to a break. Velus Jones cut on Friday. What do you think? Your thoughts?
My thoughts are that, you know, it's unfortunate. I celebrate no man's issues, problems. I don't appreciate that at all. But I did think that they kept the guy on the team based on how he performed as the third running back against third string players in the final preseason game. I don't know that he earned his spot on the roster. And I went back and watched that after they cut him, I went back and watched the final Hard Knocks where he makes the team, and I heard the general manager say that he wouldn't trade him for a fourth rounder. There had been like a team that contacted him, and he wouldn't – a fourth rounder wouldn't be enough for him. And I thought, like, wow, if you can get a fourth rounder,
oh boy,
that's better than what you're getting for Fields right now.
You're not getting anything like that for him. Yeah. But how concerned are you really for the Ferret?
Who's the pet ferret? Yeah.
Now, I mean, who's going to support the ferret?
I mean, the ferret, good star. I don't know what's going to happen. I think he got paid a little bit, though.
Okay.
he did okay for himself. He got a bonus. Has he signed anywhere?
Let's hope he invested well.
He'll probably end up somewhere.
Speed.
Speed.
Speed we'll travels.
He's a traits guy, so maybe he gets someplace, and God bless him. I hope he does okay with his life. Nice fella. Just couldn't really play.
Pushing 30.
Yeah, he's about 42 years old.
All right,
he's Rogers.
We got a break.
We got Dan and Marshall next. It's Mully and Haw on the score.